freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com. I probably shouldn't be laughing. Today is a day for being morose. It was awful last night.
Today is a day we must laugh, and I love that the camera is only on you as you get set to apologize to all of
us. I am not apologizing to anybody. It's a brutal loss once again for the Mariners last night. A little back tweak for James Paxton. Thank God it was only a back tweak.
I hit the center console of the car last night when I was driving? Yes, I did.
Oh.
Did Titus then hit the console in the back seat of the captain chairs or whatever? Yes, he did. He said, do you like that? Do you like when I do it? You think I like it when you do it? And I said, well, do you think I like it when Paxton's got something wrong with him? And at that point, I had no idea what it was. And it turns out it's probably best case scenario.
I would say that, I mean, other than he had been sick and had GI distress and couldn't go on, had the flu or something like that, this is, if, as an injury goes, a back spasm that hopefully you can calm down here in the next 10 days. That is exactly what you're looking for compared to, oh, it's forearm tight. What? No,
correct.
Thank you. I don't want to hear any part of
forearm.
Forearm
cramps he had a month and a half
get
ago.
Out of none of that. So probably the best news you could have heard after he left the game. But that's four games in six that this team has got not just beaten, but beaten soundly. They've been non-competitive in four of the last six games. And were it not for the Ryan Healy home run that salvaged what would have been a really bad loss against Colorado, you'd be looking at 5-6.
Yep.
I mean, they have played their – even when they were in New York and Boston, I would argue they played better baseball and more competitive baseball than they have against two teams in Colorado and Anaheim that are not nearly as good as Boston and New York.
Yep.
That little losing streak was understandable. This one, this team looks tired, and it's difficult to tell whether or not that's real or whether that's just because they're not hitting. But four out of six of non-competitive baseball, Brock, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. But it's more of a problem is we are all showmates here. I think in some ways we have a friendship. You, me, Lydia, Howdy, Kyle.
Yes, that's why we have a group text amongst the five of us.
Yes, that's why we do. And that's why you shot out a little text last night that was deeply, deeply inappropriate.
It was not.
Very offensive.
It was emotional.
100% accurate.
It was emotional.
It was personal.
It was rash. It was letting a uncompetitive baseball team for the last 6 days really get to you, Salk. And I think you owe me, Lydia, and boy, Howdy.
For what?
An apology.
For what?
Do you want me?
I will never apologize to you.
I cannot read on the air.
What?
The text that you sent.
Why don't you read what you can read? I didn't send you anything inappropriate.
That did not go to Kyle.
Why would he need to apologize?
It did not go to Kyle because Kyle was on your bandwagon. Kyle, in fact,
I was on that,
wanted Houston to switch.
Yeah, I was on the text. I wasn't offended by it.
Yeah, but he's not the one that you were directing this towards.
All right, so explain.
You're really parsing it.
Yes. Well, the other day when we talked about Oakland and Houston playing, what did we want? Lydia and Howdy wanted Houston to get swept. Wanted Oakland to sweep Houston.
You wanted
Houston
Oakland
away.
To sweep Houston.
I wanted them to win 3 of 4, and obviously that's what happened. They won 3 of 4.
Congratulations. Yeah,
you're welcome.
I hope you're proud of yourself, you idiots.
And then you text me, Lydia, and Howdy, and yes, Kyle's on the chain, but he's on your side, and you dumb bleeps were rooting for Oakland.
Yeah. I hope you're proud of yourself.
All you're doing is projecting.
Yep.
You're upset at the Mariners, and once again, you're using Brock and me and Lydia as
That's
an outlet for your anger.
Well, first of all, as we said in the 80s, no duh. Of course I am, Howdy. Like, congratulations. Yes, you're right. I'm projecting onto you. But second of all, you 100% deserve it.
You could have said,
how dare you have... You guys were so 100% dead wrong. Oakland is now, what, 4 back? You are 3 back at Houston?
5.
Five.
Yes. I'm sorry. They are 5 back. No, after tonight it'll be 4.
Yes.
You just wait.
Oh,
how dare you?
Okay.
You guys are ridiculous.
Lydia, did you even show
you
this to your
Blake
mother?
You are a Blake Treinen blown save away from it being 4, by the way. And now Oakland is going to go play
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
You're so mad.
So hopefully they lose a couple games there. Houston's going to host Detroit. Detroit stinks.
Even have a word for the dark, dark place that you're in right now.
You are so...
You're Gollum.
I'm not in a dark place. I just want the Mariners to make the playoffs, and apparently you guys don't.
No, you're just constantly afraid of everything. Yes. You just can't enjoy success. Yep. That's what's really happening.
I'm loving success. I enjoy every part of it. But I still think that, trying to make sure your team gets into the playoffs is awfully important. And instead of this weird pipe dream that they're going to beat Houston, who's one of the most complete teams we've seen in our lifetime, I can't believe that you guys would even go in this direction, and that even after watching what happened this week, you would hang on to your ridiculously held belief.
So you
want an apology from me?
Yes, and
after
asked,
all that,
yes, and you said
you
stand
can stuff
by
your
my
stories in a sack, Mister.
You said you'll stand by the comment, and then you go on to say, "I'm not." I called out your whining because you're whining about everything. I said, "Will you stop whining?" And you said, "I'm not whining. I'm mad at you for tempting fate."
And you guys did.
Like,
and
we have anything to do with it.
You should be ashamed of yourself for what you did.
You will apologize.
First of all.
Apologize. Hold on a minute. I will not apologize.
You will apologize.
All right, fine.
And I would like to take this time to formally apologize.
There you go.
What? What are you saying?
I deeply apologize.
Are you trying to say apologize?
No, I would never do that. What I am doing is... apologizing to all the people who were offended by my statements.
I am happy to apologize to the three of you idiots for what you did. I can't believe what you said, how you tempted fate, and I hope you're proud of yourself now. The Mariners have only a 5-game lead. It has been cut in half by the Oakland A's just in the last couple weeks. You should be embarrassed and ashamed.
Don't live in fear, Saul.
That's right. That's
right. Don't believe in your team if that's what it comes down to. That's what it is. Five games? You don't believe in your team enough? Like five games?
Live, so nervous? Of course it does. You still have half a season to play. Five games is nothing. Brock.
Yes, Mike.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was one of the greatest high school coaches this state has ever known.
Beyond that. What else did he do for a living?
Physical education and driver's education
teacher.
There we go.
Give me the last one. What did he do?
He was a renowned driver's ed teacher to the point that even 20 years ago, he was the one to work with the students that spoke English as a second language. That is how good of a driver's ed teacher
was. What is the number one type of driving they teach you in driver's ed class?
Offensive.
False. Apologize. Defensive driving.
Mike,
you are constantly...
Take it from Coach Huer.
Sorry, it's for losers.
That's exactly right. I'm not saying I'm sorry, and I'm listening to Coach Huer.
Right.
I am listening to your dad who taught you well, Brock.
Defensive driving.
You are already looking around. What else is going on?
Turn your head before you're dead.
What is that car over there going to do? Is it going to run one of these unmitigated intersections that we have here in Seattle and nowhere else in the world? Maybe. Maybe that guy's going to hit me. Maybe it's going to be this one. What about that woman over there? That car could be coming out. That person's about to open their door. You got your eyes everywhere. You're looking around. You're not looking right in front of you. You're not confident that everybody else is going to do their thing. You are defensive at all times and ready for any threat from anywhere. And
nice
right now,
try means you didn't get the job done.
Right now, that threat is coming from Oakland. And the fact that you guys are blind to it, I think, is insane. Defensive driving.
You are terrified of the
Arizona Cardinals.
You are
so scared.
You are terrified.
Well, I'll tell you what, Howdy. Feel free to keep saying that because I hope it has the same result as the last time. If what it means is that the Mariners eventually play the A's in like 2 months when they finally play each other and knock the tar out of them, that would be awesome. But for now, yeah, I'm afraid of the A's. I'm afraid of the Mariners who have just lost 4-6 in bad fashion.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean I think they're done. I'm not saying that. I'm still pretty confident in this team. They're going to go play good baseball, and in a month they'll get Cano back, and they'll get back to some of their winning ways. But you don't want the 10-game cushion? Come on. Get out of here. Of course you do.
You don't want to be within 3 games of Houston? So you'd have rather sat here and Houston swept, you lost 2 out of 3, and be sitting here 6 games out, and with Detroit coming before an All-Star break, maybe 7, 7.5 games out of Houston? You don't want that. You want to still have
and
that
have,
carrot
and,
out there.
Wait, hold on. If
you
I
want
have
Jerry,
that, do I, hold on. If I have
Jerry
that, do I have a 9-game lead on Oakland?
You
yes,
want
I'm
Jerry
fine with
to
it.
Keep adding. You want him to keep bolstering this team.
Of course
you,
I do.
You want him and everybody keep building into this. And you don't want to be 7.5 out of Houston.
No, but you know what I want? I want Oakland 10 back and selling at the deadline and being guaranteed a playoff spot. And then I'll go worry about
There's
Houston.
There's no guarantees in life, son.
Come on, man. That's about as
Mike
close Hewer as they
to
get.
Tell me that, too. There's no guarantees.
What do they need to sell like so much of, too? They have the lowest payroll in baseball. It's not like they really need to, and they look good.
Just apologize to Lydia. You just don't.
I don't actually want your apology. I don't want a forced apology. I don't want a disingenuous apology. No, thank you.
Any apology I give would be the definition of disingenuous because I don't feel even a little bit bad about what I said to you guys.
Yes.
I think you deserve it. I think you probably deserve more, but because Lydia was on the text, I was being nice. The way you guys tempted fate is embarrassing.
What do we have to do with fate?
You tempted fate.
How?
And you know it. You know what you did. You know what you did, and I'm shocked.
This is as crazy as you not understanding John Clayton in the Hall of Fame and fandom.
Text message. I hate saying this, but Salk is absolutely correct. Dudes, I agree with Salk on this. I agree with Salk. The A's scare me. How dare you guys? You guys are foolish, and I should have called you so and more on that text chain. 710, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first. Woo!
Rough night for the Mariners. The offense stayed quiet in last night's 11-2. Sheesh, 11-2. I didn't get that far. Sorry, this is the first time I'm reading this score. 11-2? Jeez, the Mariners failed to score a run in 45 of their last 53 innings played. Here's the thing. They played uncompetitive baseball in four of their last six games, and that's the only reason that you kind of have your eyes open to what's going on right now. Do I think the Mariners have become a bad team? No, of course not. Do I still want them to make the playoffs and think they've got a darn good shot to do so? Yes, absolutely I do. But this is one of those tough stretches that managers talk about, and they say, hey, we're going to lose four or five straight. Well, maybe they haven't all been in a row. But being non-competitive in four of six, that is not the way this Mariner team has played throughout the first part of this year.
Yeah, I think all of that is fair. And, you know, I was doing a little digging on the old calculator last night in database. In this stretch over the last six games, Mike, 53 innings of baseball, did not have to play the ninth inning in the home game against Colorado there, or hit. In those 53 innings, 45 of them have been scoreless. 45 of those innings have been totally scoreless, without a lot of threats, without any execution, without pressurizing the team, without really doing what you did the first three-plus months of the season. Are they tired? You know, Lydia will point to the fact they played 10 more games than they normally do before the All-Star break, right? They started this season so early. Are they on a little bit of fumes with a bunch of guys that are beat up and injured a little bit? You have some new guys filling spots behind home plate and in the rotation? Yes, you do. You have all of that. And welcome to a very long, in a very arduous baseball season, and actually at a time right now where I'm not flinching and I'm not panicking because I love so much more about this team and the strengths of this team than the weaknesses right now that are being exposed.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, certainly not good news, but it could have been a lot worse. James Paxton leaving last night's game in the first inning due to discomfort in his lower back. Scott Service calling it a small back spasm. Afterwards, he allowed three runs, recorded just two outs before exiting the game. He looked awful. I mean, that was as bad as we've ever seen James Paxton look. Everything up and just getting hammered by whatever angel happened to be at the plate. But it's not believed to be serious, and thank God. When he first came out, you had no idea what it was. Could it have been an arm? And at that point, you're just, oh my God, what happens next? But thankfully, it's a back issue. And hey, look, those things are going to happen over the course of the year. The Mariners have been remarkably healthy in their starting rotation, but all of a sudden, it looks like 40% is hurt. The good news, they're not going to be hurt for very long, and you get right back to it.
Yeah, the GMs in baseball have, I think, the most difficult jobs of all the general managers out there. They've got a draft, they've got free agency, they got to do what everyone does, and then they got this trade deadline here for about a month and a half of a season with a market that they've got to figure out their own team, what's going on out there, trying to project what their own team can do. And Mike, innings pitched by all of these starters is going to be on that watch list for everyone other than Mike Lee. For Marco Gonzalez, it's a watch. For Paxton, it's a watch. For Fate Felix at this stage, it's a watch. For Wade LeBlanc, it's very much a watch. None of these guys have been 200-plus inning guys. So they're going to have to continue to monitor those and watch those. And equally, for James Paxton, that line between being injured and hurt. When do I grind through? When am I just a little bit hurt and I can force my way through it when I've got forearm cramps in a game like you did earlier this year and be fine? Or do I have a back issue here that could put a danger the rest of my body and my arm? That line last night, well, the team decided for him in that first inning, we're not going to play around. We're going to play conservatively, and I think good thing they did.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, Christian Bergman is going to get the start as expected. Comes up from AAA Tacoma today. He'll start in Colorado where he used to pitch, so hopefully he's got some sense of what to do there. It's not an easy place, that's for sure. It's going to be even more challenging without Nelson Cruz. Mariners offense has been struggling recently. What is it going to look like when you remove its best hitter? Well, we're going to find out. Starting tonight, Nelson Cruz will only be available to pinch hit, will not be starting in the outfield. And so, you're going to really need a couple of these guys to step up. That means Ryan Healy needs to hit. That means Kyle Seager needs to hit. Great at bat last night for him in the first inning. Yep. You'd like to see a whole lot more of those and some power as well. So Mariners got a tall task ahead of them. To see a red-hot Colorado team in their building.
Isn't that when this team has kind of responded all season long in some of their adversity? I just chuckle. I look at this run differential right now. With the blowout loss last night, this team sits at a +5 run differential. Oakland behind them at +25, and the Angels are +26, and yet the Mariners are still 22 games over .500. It's when they've been doubted, it's when there's been adversity, it's when it's gotten a little tough that this team has responded. I sure hope for the same and largely expect the same. I think they'll go out now. I think they'll win this series in Colorado, sit 23 games above .500, get the rest when they need it. Still buying and still very positive on this trajectory.
All right. Let's see some of the text messages. Salk, you're dead wrong. You need to be chasing Houston for first place, not looking like the wild card. Salk, just stop it. You're the little baby. They'll be fine. East Coast Salk showing up this morning. Grow up, Salk. Salk, stop asking yourself easy questions and then answering them just to make yourself sound smart. Hey.
Salk, for the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
You know, sometimes the best thing to do is ask yourself easy questions and then answer them. Sometimes you need a little confidence boost. What's wrong with that?
Are my eyes blue? Yes.
Salk, don't look back in anger. At least not today. All right, fine. Thanks, Oasis. We'll talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning to you, John.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
You know, I'm kind of annoyed at my cohorts here, other than Kyle, Lydia, and Howdy, and Brock, who are sitting around cheering for...
What did I do?
No, I said... I'm sorry. Lydia and... Who did I say? Everyone but Kyle in this room, because they've been rooting for Oakland, and I think it was foolish.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Thank you, Mr. Professor.
I mean, it's not even... I mean, they're not catching Houston. That's not happening. The Astros are going to win 105, 106 games, and they're not going to be able to get to 106. And so the key is, you know, go 500 the rest of the way, get 92, 91 wins, but worry about Oakland.
When did you become fanboy of the Houston Astros? You told us yesterday you're not a fan. You're fanboy.
They're good.
I look at the numbers. I look at reality. I'm not a fan.
I'm going to send you a Houston Astros hat, John. You can wear it this weekend.
You send him a foam finger.
You're fanboy of the Astros. You don't think the Mariners got a shot against
them?
They
don't. They don't have a shot. I mean, do you look at their – I know they lost the series to the A's, but they don't have many games against winning teams.
And the Rays, they don't have a closer. Their bullpen's imploding. It's very hard to win back-to-back years. Correa's injured. McCann's injured.
No one said they have to win the World Series.
We're talking the division.
Sure. Right. It's not that hard to win a division 2 years
in a row. Don't worry about that.
Especially when you're by far the best team in it. Make the A's go away. And you guys tempted fate by even talking this.
Hey, Brock, who has the better starting rotation?
The Astros do.
Okay.
Who's a better lineup?
The Astros.
Who has more power?
The Astros.
Who has more speed?
Does it matter?
Yes, all those things matter.
Do you remember, though, when we thought that they weren't going to lose another game before the All-Star
they
break?
Still might
and then
not.
They lost all those in Tampa Bay, and they just lost 3 or 4 at home.
Those were an accident, though.
Sure.
Those were just an accident.
It's baseball.
Any new thoughts on Earl and his love affair for the Dallas Cowboys today?
No. I mean, I think he's now put everything to rest as far as where his heart is, and it's not necessarily here in Seattle. He would be able to accept Seattle, but he'd have to accept it with a big contract, and they can't offer him a contract. So it's now the waiting game. And how long the Seahawks want to wait, that's going to be the big question. You know, they've got to go ahead and probably just take this well into training camp. You know, Earl has to lose his money. They have to watch to see how injuries go for free safeties around the National Football League. And then at some point, late August, probably make a trade and get him down to Dallas.
Hey, JC, we know how closely you work with the Hall of Fame, and in that room, part of that committee, heading that committee, committee. And we also know that T.O. is an N-O-G-O to go to Canton. So were you a part of the committee that said, fine, then mail him his yellow jacket and we're not even going to mention him in the ceremony?
No, that's Dave Baker and the board. They're the ones that make that decision. We have no vote. We have no voice in that. I think it was the right way to do it because, it's not like they're taking away anything from him. And I kind of like the idea that they're going to mail it probably in slow mail on the Saturday once the enshrinement starts. I thought that was pretty good because he'll get it in the mail, and I don't know, they may not package it well or anything like that. I like the idea that they're not even going to mention him, and I'm sure that in the future, unlike every other Hall of Famer, they're not inviting him back.
I guess he'll ever come get to a point. Wyman likes to say this on the afternoon show, and he's right. And Brett Favre is the example, right? Oh, my gosh. Never welcome back in Green Bay. How do you go to Minnesota? All the hatred, burning jerseys, and then guess what? He goes in the Ring of Honor with Bart Starr last year, and everything is forgotten down the road. Do you think there's ever going to come a point where T.O. is like, man, what an idiot I was? I let the bitterness of the media and some of these voters get in the way of this game. My peers in the Hall of Fame being in that museum with all the great. You think there will ever be 5-10 years from now, like, what was I thinking with this move?
I would think so. I think he's talking to enough people that are telling him the mistake that he's making. And at some point, he's going to wake up and say, you know what? I'm in the Hall of Fame, but I feel like I'm out of the Hall of Fame. And that's the case because he's on the outside looking in. I mean, he's not going to be able to attend any of the ceremonies in the future unless he changes his mind. I mean, all he has to do is reach back. But I think that the way he's handled it has been horrible. He deserves what he gets. Again, I'm happy, and I still would say that I'm happy I voted for him because I voted for him the year before. I'm happy I wouldn't take back the vote. But
this is pretty emblematic of what he was as a teammate.
100%. I mean, because that's why he didn't get in the first ballot. That's why he didn't get in the second ballot. The two teams that he played the most for wanted him out.
How do you think the Hall of Fame mails that? Like, it's got to be at least certified, right? Do they use FedEx or UPS? Like, they're not just sending that regular mail.
Oh, yeah, business.
Regular metered mail?
5-7 business.
Come on. No way.
5-7 business.
Like, can you imagine that gets stolen? Like, you start a dispute over whether, like, where my green jacket is?
Sure.
I don't know. I think they better, at the very least. Who is it, Kyle? Morosi sends everything via certified mail.
Yes.
The least they could do is send this. He was sending us a letter via certified mail. Man. All right, let's get to the wild card.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
It's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Oh, boy.
John Clayton is a farmer who lost all of his crops in a terrible locust swarm. With a drought on the horizon, Clayton scrambles to figure out a way to get his family through the tough times. John Clayton decides to take a loan from a shady banker played by Boy Howdy and loses it all in a crooked game of poker to the town sheriff played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Deeply in debt and without the help of police, John Clayton and his wife, a secret martial arts master played by Jodie Foster, defend their property from Boy Howdy and his goons and try to take back their money from the crooked DiCaprio. What do you think?
I think I'm in tough shape right now because I don't have any money. I don't have any resources. I mean, it's just two of us trying to protect everything. Mm. I think I'm in deep trouble on this one. I've got to find a way to recruit somebody, but now I probably don't even have enough money to make a cell phone call.
Yeah, the good news, though, is since Howdy's obviously borrowing from Maverick, Jodie Foster was in a movie that featured a lot of these types of poker games. You just got to hope for what you want at the very end, the Ace of Spades a la Mel Gibson. You could probably be okay.
Well, maybe what I can do, we can have that poker game in Vegas, have Charles Oakley on the other side, and then they catch him cheating, and then I'm able to get the money back.
That would help. That's probably what you're looking for.
What a knucklehead.
All right, John. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank
you. It's beautiful out. And go enjoy it. I hope you get outside. And all right, I hope. God willing, I hope you're able to get outside for a little while. There's John Clayton with us every single day at 7:10. And, good stuff.
You see Earl's tattoo?
No.
He got the Dallas on his heart. He got the star America's team on his heart right
Come
there.
Come on,
that's
get
the next
out of
thing
here.
That's coming out.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You can listen to the show here in the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. He's got a star right on his heart.
Right
now,
on the heart.
Wow, that's
America's
fake news.
Team,
I don't think that's real. I don't think that's a true story.
No.
I saw that picture of him shirtless out there working. Where was he? In Aspen?
In Aspen.
Ooh.
Jacked up.
Dude, he is ripped.
He really is.
How does a human being look like that?
I don't know.
He is just a series of muscles all
yes.
over his body.
Yep.
They should sign him. This is crazy. Just get this guy
we'll
in here.
Stop it.
Just whatever he wants. Just bring him in, sign the guy, and quit worrying about all this stuff. All right. Speaking of worried, Brock, for all of your lack of worry, you'd like to see some action with the Mariners. You've got three moves they need to make. How many of them are true? It's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
How dare you? Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN.
You're a loopy mess.
No, I'm not.
I woke up, had no idea what day it was. Lydia overslept. Kyle thought it was Saturday. What is going on?
I am shocked zero that Lydia overslept, given how late she was on Twitter and text last night. Go to bed. You wake up at 3 in the morning. You can't be up until 11. This is pretty simple.
Do you want to call me dumb again?
No, I didn't call you dumb.
You can text it to me. Text it on our
I got called dumb yesterday on Twitter just because I wanted them to drill Luis Valbuena yesterday.
Dumb.
Which they should have done.
So did
dumb.
Someone literally call? Did someone say the word dumb?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, Meg Rowley called it dumb.
Called your theory dumb?
Yes.
Okay.
I said they should do this. I said, why wouldn't they just drill Valbuena here? She said, because that would be dumb. Like, I don't think it's dumb at
That's
all.
That's not calling you dumb. That's calling your theory dumb.
It was
There's a different
insinuated.
Distinction.
You called me, Howdy, and Lydia all dumb.
Yeah, because you guys tempted fate.
Oh, okay.
Totally makes sense. Yes,
big
you're
difference.
Right.
All I did was create a theory of justice.
You really want to mess with Lydia? You really want to do
Absolutely.
No, you don't.
I want to mess with anybody who's sitting around saying that they wanted the A's to sweep the Astros.
That's like going toe-to-toe with a panda bear. You
I don't
think
care.
That it's really, really nice.
I
right.
don't care.
Until you get slapped.
The only problem with going toe-to-toe with Lydia, it's not winning. It's the fact that no matter how much you win by, the text machine
True.
Just crucifies you
You
for it.
Will lose.
I know.
Lose
you can't. You can't. All right.
Salk, for the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
Hey, Graz, we're going to get to you here in about 15 minutes, and Brock is about to make mincemeat out of you. So why don't you keep your mouth shut? Keep your pie hole closed there, Grosby. We're getting to you in about 15 minutes in Blue 42.
Oh, you ready for my three moves?
Salk is always right, and he told you so.
Yeah, today that's I am. Right. Today
You're
I'm super right.
Fire.
Yeah, that's right. I am.
So someone came to the house and did some work, and you just were sleeping on the couch, just out?
What's wrong with that?
You don't even have the courtesy to go in your room or the basement.
Well, I had to stick around. Avery was there, too.
Oh,
I can't leave somebody alone with Avery. I'm not snoring.
Just like partially alone.
Well, I was there. I was in the room.
Right.
And it
okay.
Is that a problem?
No, not at all.
Me and Avery were home with
right.
Wendell. Wendell was
right.
lying in the sun, and there was right. somebody doing some stuff in the house.
Right.
And, I fell asleep.
You're just out.
I was tired.
Sure.
What's the worst thing that could have happened? They could have absconded with Avery?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'd have crossed that bridge when we came.
True.
Right?
Okay. I got three moves. Enough of this. You ready? I got three moves for the Mariners. And maybe it was highlighted a little bit last night when Paxton leaves that game in the first inning. By the way, give me cut number five here if you don't mind. Because this was at least the saving grace last night.
Nothing serious. He's been checked out by doctors here. Obviously, that was his last outing before the All-Star break. So he'll have some time to kind of calm it down, recoup. Fully expect him to come out of the break and be good to go. So it was just one of those freak things that happened tonight. But no structural damage, just a muscle spasm in the low back, and he should be fine going forward.
And that's the best news you could hear last night. But it didn't stop my mind from racing the minute he goes out of that game. And really with Felix out now too, with the monitoring of innings that you are going to have over the course of the second half of this season with so many of these starters, Mike, the three moves that I would love this team to make. Number one, and this one can be done without the market, you sign Nelson Cruz to an extension. You sign him to another 1 year and you with a team option for a second. You did it to Wade LeBlanc. You gave him his money. You gave him security. And granted, it's going to be a lot more millions for Nelson Cruz. But I think right now, this team, they're going to get Robbie Cano. Obviously, here in a few weeks, they're going to get that bat back. I think for this team, they need that I would love to see. They don't need it. I would love to see that infusion of confidence.
So number one, sign Nelson Cruz. Number two.
Because that can get done. Number two, you got to go get a top flight starter. That has to happen. You got to go get a starter for the second half of the season. And I heard the afternoon guy, or Bob Gross and Tom, say Erasmo fits some of that for them. He does not for me. That's not going to be good enough for me in August and September to say, now Erasmo can be your eighth. Right, if you want to really extend some of the depth of your rotation with Bergman and Waylon when he continues to come back and Erasmo, that's all fine. But or you know, even if you want to extend your little guy out of the bullpen, your lefty, that's all fine. But you need a six in particular, and I would love to see Cole Hamels.
Okay, number
that's a,
three.
That's a financial move, again, more than a prospect, and I don't care what his numbers are and the streaky nature of it. He pitches in Texas. He plays for a terrible team. I would like to see Cole Hamels. He's been there and he's done it.
All right.
And then lastly, and I think another possibility, and DePoto talked about this with the afternoon guys yesterday, they're going to be a market of some relievers. With the haves and the have-nots, you have got to go get another relief arm. When you see Nicasio again last night, he's got a problematic knee. You just see some of those arms. You know what's coming in the second half. You got to bolster that bullpen as well.
You're going to see the same level of activity that you've always seen in years past. And starting pitching is going to be a premium. And this year, I would say there's probably going to be maybe more relief arms on the market than have been in recent years, because there is a bigger divide between the teams that are contending and those that are not, which logically means that maybe a few more veteran guys will be in play during the months of July and August. But I don't anticipate great moves.
I do. I anticipate a great move with a starting pitcher here in the next 3 weeks. I anticipate a secondary move with a market that could be flooded with relievers. You get that done. And I would like to see Nelson get his deal.
All those things make some level of sense. I think I'm going to disagree with you on Hamels. I don't know that he's the right arm for them. I mean, I'm not going to complain if that's what they end up doing, depending on how much they have to give up to get it. He may be the cheapest arm that you can acquire in terms of prospects, and that's the best thing he has going for him.
Yes.
Is he a significant upgrade? I don't know, man. You start talking to the stats people, and they'll tell you that he's essentially Felix at this stage of his career. So I don't know whether I'm going to be doing cartwheels over acquiring a Cole Hamels. But you're right. He's got some postseason experience. He'll bring a nice edge to the team. I mean, there's some pluses there. I'm certainly not going to, you know, become deranged just because they do it. But I just find, you know, look, I can't disagree with any of those. I got to do all of those things at some point. They certainly need a right-handed reliever. Glad to hear that that's going to be a good market. I'd love to see them sign Cruz. I would throw signing Scott Service into this, and maybe that's a little infusion that they could use. That probably now won't happen until after the All-Star break. I can't imagine them doing that while they're on the road. Okay. I think they'll want to do it at home so that they have a chance for the media and everybody locally to talk to Scott. So that won't happen, I would think, until now after the All-Star break when they finally get home. But I just, look, you know, I like that you're thinking this way. I just think the challenge with any time a team plays poorly, like the Mariners have for a week, is trying to figure out what's real and what isn't.
Yes.
They look dead. They look dead tired. They look like they need a shot of energy, a vitamin B12 shot or something like that.
They look like a team that's played for the last month and a half very close games almost every single night. In fact,
exactly right.
24 wins by an average of 2 runs per win. They've not had blowout after blowout.
But you know this now after 9 years of doing the show together and talking baseball nearly every summer.
Yes.
That when a team looks dead, it's possible that they are. And it's also possible that they're just not hitting.
Sure.
And if it's just that they're not hitting, they don't need an infusion of energy. They just need to get on base.
Yeah, I didn't say they need bats.
I understand.
They need to make all those moves.
But just energy is what I'm saying. I'm not talking about whether or not they need a bat to shake up the lineup. Although I'll tell you what, man, that right now, watching this team, at times the bats look like they're a much bigger problem than the arms do.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you can tell. I don't know how anybody can tell when a team is actually tired and when they are just not hitting.
Sure.
And that remains to be one of the hardest parts to me of being a fan or a media member.
Yep.
It's probably a little bit easier when you're a manager or a GM because of the individual conversations and, you know, the more intimate way you
but
deal.
But they walk in that same tension.
It
you
is
know
such
they
a hard...
You know they do.
What actually needs to be shaken up?
Yep.
What player who's hitting 200 over the last 2 weeks is done?
Heredia.
Or which one who's hitting 200 over the last couple weeks is ready to turn it around, get hot again,
like
and
Ben
dominate?
Gamel was earlier this year, like Nelson Cruz has been through the ups and the downs.
I don't know how you determine who's the who. How, yes. It makes baseball a huge challenge.
It sure does. I'll tell you. I think there's one other little tension point too. Is Scott's kind of wired like a dad. We joke about that. He talks about it. Right. And some of the best thing about this team and where he's grown as a manager is at times let it go and cut it loose and let guys have fun. You know, and I think he gives them immense amount of liberty and justice to do so. But when you don't execute, right, when you make some errors, when, you know, you don't have any productive outs, when you're just not doing those things, you know, in his gut, some of that tension, like, is this a focus thing? Can we dial this thing in and please get it going? And you know what? The beauty of baseball, unlike football, where we sit on these things for 6 days.
Yeah.
They'll play tonight, and they can turn it all around this weekend in the Rocky Mountains.
Salk won't buy the girl Slurpees for fear of getting punched in the face by Heather, but he'll nap with a complete stranger in the house? Hashtag Father of the Year. All right. Yeah. I mean,
a fair assessment.
I would say all of those things are accurate.
Give you that observation.
I would also say my wife is significantly more comfortable with me napping in that spot than she is with me buying the girls a Slurpee. This is the household I live in. What do you want in my life?
Hashtag long body.
Hashtag. All right, coming up next, you guys can get mad at me all you want. Just wait to see until you see how Brock eviscerates the Groz. It's coming up next on Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, GU corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for a little Coors Light's Blue 42. I got some text messages I wouldn't mind answering here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, get through a couple of those.
Hey, Danny O'Neill is going to, I think, stick around at 8.
Oh, good.
We're going to talk a little bit
about him in here. I'd like to speak to somebody with a level of intelligence.
Great. See what I deal with, Lydia?
I wasn't talking to you.
You're a saint, Brock.
For 9+ years, Lydia.
Yeah, it's amazing. Thank God you had that year off in between. All right, question number one. What's the one thing that Dabo Swinney and Chris Peterson have in common?
They love to accentuate their players and to develop and mold their players. And I say that from a little bit of experience. Howdy could probably speak to this as well, because he was back at Clemson, probably bring a fresher perspective than just my opinion. But Howdy was there. We spent a lot of time around that program. And last night, there was an event at Husky Stadium. And there were a couple dozen of the Husky players. So I was watching the freshmen work out. And then a chance to actually spend some time talking to the player. I had a great chat with Jake Browning and Chico McClatcher. I was telling him about
Chico?
Chico
is a good kid.
He is phenomenal.
I love that guy. But I'd love for him to be a really good kid.
Yes. And I just...
Oh, good.
If you were to have been there, you'd been like, man... These guys, I know we make fun of college kids, can't talk. Miles was asleep with us at 8 a.m. and whatever. But the majority of them, like when you're around them, like, man, Chris Peterson is most proud. I really believe this. He's most proud, and he knows he's got to win. But he's most proud of the fact that he's trying to raise up good young men to be leaders in whatever field they're doing and can actually talk and engage and look you in the eye and carry on conversations. It was just so refreshing last night. I was reminded of that, as I was during the spring ball when I took Howdy out to Clemson. And you're around those players. They're down to earth. They talk to you. They can communicate. You know, it just isn't that factory of being used and abused that you hear so much of and does exist in football. But I think Adabo and a Coach Peterson are two guys right near the top of the list that really want to facilitate player growth.
You get that at Louisville, too?
No.
All right. Question number two. A lot of conversation last few days about the new kickoff rules and what they're going to mean. If you haven't been paying attention, the NFL has significantly altered the kickoff rules. What do you think this is going to look like?
I think it may be one of the biggest game changers for your eyes that we have seen in football in our lifetime. You know, you get so used to, we were talking about this in baseball, you get so used to what your eyes should see as a play. Like, this is a normal reaction. Well, all these shifts have kind of screwed that up. And then D. Gordon screws it up with the superhuman speed. Mike, none of us are prepared for what this is going to look like. Even the coaches themselves. You know, Brian Schneider was on with Clayton earlier this year. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. We could have three returners back there. There's going to be so much space. I think it's going to be so fun to see the upside and opportunity. Groz, is he and Bob and crew were talking about this yesterday? Not so much.
I just don't know how it becomes more entertaining. Maybe it will be, and I'll be happy to be wrong about it because
there's no way you're going to be wrong about it.
I want the entertainment value to be there.
There's no way it's going to be as entertaining. No chance.
How do you know that? I think there's a great chance, Groz, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for the NFL. There's now going to be like jousting at the line. There's no longer these massive collisions, but you know what else there is? There's going to be 5, 10, 20 yards of space. There's going to be creativity that comes out of this with coordinators they've never had before. They've been in a box, and this is the way you're going to do it. And here's the three returns you're going to work on. Here's the wedge. Here's this. Here's maybe one trick play. Not now. Now it's going to look like the arena game. Like all
no
of this.
No chance.
Groz, there is a chance. how you can be so steadfast in your belief that it will be
Well, I guess my question is this. Has it been good for the last few years? Most of them are touchbacks.
Correct.
It can't get better than that. I would think anything would be better than that.
100%.
Yeah.
And I'll put myself in the camp largely here, I guess, of Danny David Moore or Jim. I don't know for sure, but I certainly am not going to stand on the other side and say this is just terrible, non-entertaining,
well,
non-factor.
Well, Gross, for the first time in the last 2 days, is flat out wrong.
No chance.
And question number three. All right, here's my question.
I was in my car like, how do you know that, Gross?
Brock demanded that I write him a good Blue 42
question. This was a good one.
So this is what I came up with. If you were named offensive coordinator for an NFL expansion team tomorrow, so you don't have any players yet, so you don't have to build an offense for the players that you have.
Okay.
What kind of an offense would you design?
I would study three programs very closely, and they would be a blend of these three. New England, Jacksonville, and the Houston Texans. And all three of those, well, especially the first and the last, New England and Houston, what they specialize in is versatility. Don't you ever put me in a box. Don't put Brock in a box, ever. I want tight ends. I want fullbacks. I want versatility. And I do not ever want to be a one-trick pony. And that's where New England has found such a special sauce for so many years with Tom and his team. That's where the commitment to Jacksonville with tight ends and fullbacks, because you have to. You have to win the line of scrimmage. Those numbers bear it out, and I will argue that to the day I die. This is still a running game NFL, as hard as it is. And while the numbers may be down, you have got to win that tug of war at the line of scrimmage. And then I love what Bill O'Brien did, being innovative, taking shots and taking some of those risks. That would be the system I would employ.
I love it. All right, that's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Always talking football, 7:45 every single morning. All right, I got a bunch of texts here.
I bet people were texting and thinking, and that's why I know it because they texted you. But I was literally, for the first time in a long time, driving in my car after filling up at Costco yesterday, listening to that whole segment with Bob Gross, some great segment. And I was like, how do you know that, Gross? How do you even know? Do you know? Can you draw up what it's going to look like?
No, he doesn't have any idea.
No.
Text message, that's the most polite evisceration I've ever heard. Way to be a gentleman, Brock. That's true. All right, my towel got wet again yesterday. Hold me, Sulky. Yeah. Hey, look, if you want a wet, soaking wet, sopping towel, did you try it, Kyle? You shucked off the water? What do you mean?
Thank you.
You didn't do it enough.
Maybe I need you to come over and like provide some sort of a service. All right. I don't know.
Okay. Do you want Salt to hand wick you?
I don't have good technique.
Test, get Howdy. Howdy's a hand wicker.
All right,
get Howdy to come over.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm not driving.
I was ineffective.
You live too far away. I'm not going over to your house to show you.
There's a shower downstairs here.
All right. Maybe we'll go down there and I'll show you how to wick water off yourself. Maybe we'll go do that after the show.
It's gross.
No, it's not.
Dory showers down there. We could just maybe take a field trip.
A couple of other texts coming in. Hold on, where'd the other one go? Salk, the baseball season is long and also good teams will go through ups and downs.
Yes.
You shouldn't overreact. Also, Salk, the Mariners have lost 4 out of 6 and are no longer competing. This team is clearly flawed. I didn't say that. I said they've lost 4 out of 6. They've been uncompetitive, and it's difficult to determine what's real and what isn't. So open your ears, buddy. And then finally, where'd the other one go? Oh, this one's I don't know if I should read this or not.
Uh-oh.
Nah, it's just the person is right. Salk, take your tranquilizer meds and then look at the start time today in Colorado. This person's right. 5:40, they're starting in Colorado today. It's a 6:40 start there. 5:40 local time. So pregame show at 4:30.
Whoa.
First pitch at 5:40 in Colorado. What is that?
Yuck.
5:40? That's not a real time for a baseball game. 12:40?
Yeah, 12:40 matinee on the Wednesday or Thursday.
Totally.
Okay.
What is a 5:40 start? Who's prepared for that?
You won't be.
No chance. All right. Coming up next, Danny O'Neill is going to come in. We need to bring some intelligence to this room, at least for a little while. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk.